Morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the senior pastor here. If you haven't heard, our beloved former pastor, Kurt Lutyens, passed away this week. He had a sudden cancer. Well, the cancer wasn't sudden. The diagnosis was delayed. And from the time he went into the hospital to the time he passed was a little over a month. So the session thought it would be appropriate for and necessary and good for me to say a few things this morning, just to comfort us and guide us as we have the task before us of worshiping today. On Friday, after I got the news, I wanted to hear Kurt. I wanted to hear his voice and hear what he had to say about the resurrection. And the beauty of our website is that you can go and you can listen to past sermons. And so I was able to listen to a sermon from 3 years ago when Kurt preached on Easter Sunday on the resurrection. And it was a blessing to hear him exhort and encourage us about what we should take away from the reality of death and the blessed truth of life eternal. So I wanted to pull out three things that I took away from that sermon is basically let Kurt teach us and exhort us this morning. The first thing I took away is that we should not sanitize death. We should not sanitize death. Often in our culture, we try to ignore death, we sanitize death, we use euphemisms for death. We say things like so-and-so passed. Kurt made a point in the sermon to say that students pass exams and cars pass each other, but people don't pass. They die. And I listened to that, as I was listening to that sermon, this was after I sent the email out to the church, and of course the subject line of my email was Kurt's passing. And I was like, man. But of course he's right, and I agree completely with him. We should not sanitize death. You know, here's a man who had this firm conviction, and he taught it for many years, and here I am sharing the news about his death, and I do exactly what he said we shouldn't do. But we shouldn't. We shouldn't sanitize death. We should not use euphemisms. Kurt said in that sermon, he said, death brings good, healthy relationships to a horrifying end. And that's what has happened. Kurt has died. The second thing I took away is part of not sanitizing death is learning, leaning into it and learning from it. There's actually a lot in the Bible about this. We ignore this because we want to ignore death and we want to sanitize it. And so we ignore a lot of what the Bible says about death and the frailty of life. So part of what we should take away is that we should not sanitize, but we should instead lean in and learn from. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. And we've been mourning a lot lately. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes this. I want you to listen to these words. They're profound. Solomon says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will take it to heart. In other words, learn from this truth. Sorrow is better than laughter. Who in the world would say that? But he says, for by sadness the face of the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Solomon seems to be speaking nonsense, but what he's really saying is deep wisdom, because those of us who enter the house of mourning grow. As long as we do not sanitize it, as long as we do not try to ignore it, but as long as we lean into it and what it has to teach us, we will come out happier and wiser. That is what I want to encourage us to do, and my prayer for us to do at this time. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5 says, O Lord, make me know the end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Our lifespan is like a wisp of cloud that is there in one moment, and the next a wind comes and is blown away. Our lifespan is like the breadth of a hand in the measure of eternity. What do we take away from this? We have a really short time here. And suddenly it can come upon us that we die and we're here no more. And so we should make the most of the time that God has given us. The book of Ecclesiastes exhorts us to rejoice in the good things that he's given us. But also we should take the time that we have and do what God gives us with all our might. We should work hard for the kingdom, understanding that life is short. We should be able to put aside our preferences sometimes, and even our desires, understanding that in the scheme of eternity, it's worth it. This is what death teaches us. We should all be ready, because we never know when God will come to take us. It's better to enter the house of mourning, because we learn the bitter lesson from death itself. The third thing I took away from Kurt's sermon is that death will die. Death will die. This is the truth that we hold on to as we mourn, but not as those who without hope. We mourn, but not as those who are without hope. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ has abolished death. He writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 that the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Paul says, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Because death is defeated in the death and resurrection of Christ. Death will die. And so we mourn as those not without hope, because death is not the end of the story. You know, ancient pagan cultures mourned without hope. They slashed themselves. They cried out. They made sacrifices in the face of death. Ancient Egyptians, they sought to mummify everything they could because they thought they could take it all with them. Modern people seek to mourn without hope in the way they ignore and deny and pretend that death doesn't exist. But we are called to mourn as those who are not without hope, because death will be defeated. Death will die. Kurt said in this sermon, this is a powerful quote. I'm just going to read this to you. He said, when it comes, brothers and sisters, to the ultimate terror, death, God takes no prisoners. God makes no pact with death. There will be no ceasefire, no compromise, and no yielding. The only thing acceptable is total destruction of the terrorist, death. God will never negotiate with death. Death will die. And so we mourn, but we don't mourn for Kurt. Kurt is with the Lord. His pain has ended. He is reunited with his beloved bride. We don't mourn for him because we believe that it is better to go and be with the Lord. And that's not a euphemism. That is the truth. It is better to go. We mourn here because of the loss of all the things that we would have had with him. All those coffees, all those conversations, all those Christmases and birthdays. We mourn for the loss of those. But we mourn not as those without hope, because in a little while we will be reunited with him. And we mourn not as those without hope, because one day in the future, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump will sound and Christ will descend with a shout, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we will meet him in the air, and our bodies, though they are perishable, will be made imperishable, and our bodies, though immortal, will take on immortality, and we will reign with him forever as victors over death, hell, and the grave, and there will be no more dying, and there will be no more suffering, and there will be no more pain, and there will be no more disease, and there will be no more cancer, and no more crying, and they will need no light in that city, for Christ himself will be our light and our life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we mourn, but not as those without hope. We lean into this time, not sanitizing death, as Kurt exhorted us, but learning its bitter lessons for us. And we hold on to that blessed truth that death will die, and we will live forever with him in the new heavens and the new earth. I want to invite you into this time of mourning, even though this time of worship, which although it may be a time of mourning, I pray that the Lord himself would comfort you by his Holy Spirit. that God himself would minister to all of us this morning as we worship together. What better place could we be than gathered together with this family to worship God? I pray that you will be able to receive from him his hand, his forgiveness, the blessing of his word, and the sweet communion of his sacrament this morning as we gather together. Let's prepare our hearts for worship.